Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the VisionVest Live Conference Call Series. Your host for today is Mr. Arnaud Machel. Please go ahead, Mr. Machel.
Thank you, operator, and also thank you to all of our listeners as well. Today is Wednesday, May the 13th, 2015. Good afternoon, and welcome to our VisionVest Live Dial and Discover Conference Call Series, your backstage pass into the minds of the money managers. My name is Arnaud Machel, and I'll be your host today. In this call, we'll be providing you with some historical market commentary on the past quarter and also some thoughts from one of the management firms within the Harmony platform. Please note that this call is being recorded, and there will be a playback available on our website if you need to rehear it or want to forward it on to a friend. The first quarter of 2015 was characterized by strong performance from the U.S. equity markets, with the S&P 500 index up 10.39% in Canadian dollar terms. Domestically, energy stocks continued to weigh on the Canadian market, which led to its comparatively weaker performance. The S&P TSX Composite Index returned only 2.58% over the quarter. All eyes remain on the U.S. Federal Reserve as the capital markets try to anticipate when the Fed will start to increase rates and by how much. Over the shorter term, the U.S. market has been impacted by changes in language from the Fed and improvement in the broader economy as market participants place bets on when the current accommodative monetary policy will start to be retracted. In Canada, the central bank continues to grapple with the effects of lower oil prices, lower government revenues, and the likelihood of continued weakness in the Canadian dollar. A low Canadian dollar should help Canadian manufacturers and exporters in the short term. As the energy sector represents a large portion of our economy and capital markets, and anticipated stability in oil prices should restore some certainty to economic projections. European markets did not start the year well, but gained strength throughout the quarter. The Greek debt crisis continues to create headwinds for the markets. However, lower energy costs, a weaker euro, and continued monetary easing by the ECB should help boost the eurozone economy this year. For global equities, the ongoing weakness in the eurozone remains a principal concern, and the risk of prolonged deflation remains real. European economies remain generally weak, and the unemployment rate registered 9.8% across all 28 EU members in February. Shockingly, that was actually an improvement year over year. The ECB is being aggressive in its quantitative easing policy, and the weaker euro is a benefit for exporting companies who can sell in U.S. dollars, manufacture in euros. As we move further into 2015, we believe the market expectations for a Fed increase in response to stronger U.S. fundamentals are correct. As the Fed normalizes its monetary policy, we expect to see increased market volatility in the short term. And this is consistent with past experience in an increasing interest rate environment. We are confident that our investment specialists are mindful of the macro environment and committed to adding value to their respective disciplines. So as I said, the Canadian equity market grew just 2.58%. Shockingly, the interest rates continue to decline. How long can that happen? The 10-year Canadian Treasury yields declined by 45 basis points over the quarter, beginning at 1.81, ending at 1.36. On the U.S. side, job growth improved at a strong pace with an average of 288,000 jobs added per month during the 3 months ending February 2015. And as I said, overseas markets posted positive returns for the quarter, the MSCI EAFE index returning 14.68%. Now, once again, Canadian dollar-denominated returns strongly outperformed their local currency counterparts in the U.S. and all overseas markets in the first quarter, with the differential being about 9.5%. And that's really simply a reflection of the decline in the Canadian dollar. In addition, as I said earlier, 10-year sovereign debt rates declined just about everywhere, most notably in Italy, Canada, and Spain. A big notable exception to that was Greece. Greece continues to be in the news, and we expect will continue to be a potential concern for markets. Their interest rates rose from 9.7 to 11.6%, almost an order of magnitude, or actually an order of magnitude greater than many of the other sovereign debt rates. Now, what did that mean in terms of returns for you, the listener? I'll just highlight three specific portfolios. Those of you invested in the Harmony balanced portfolio embedded series for the quarter ending March of this year would have earned 5.4%. Those invested in the growth portfolio embedded series would have earned 1.2% higher than that at 6.6%. And those invested in the maximum growth portfolio, now that's a portfolio with essentially zero bond exposure, would have earned 7.6% for the quarter. Now, we asked some of our portfolio managers what their thoughts were on a few areas in the markets. We asked Connor, Clark, and Lund what their outlook was for Canadian equities and fixed income. Their response was, we currently have a small single-digit negative return outlook for Canadian equities in 2015. The key factor driving our forecast is our expectation that energy prices will remain low for a longer period than currently expected by investors. This should also result in the Canadian equity market underperforming relative to global peers. We also asked what they believed the outlook was for the Canadian dollar. And here, interestingly, we had the managers with some different views. Again, Connor, Clark, and Lund had to say the weaker forecasted pace of growth in the Canadian economy relative to that of the U.S. and the resultant lower interest rates will keep pressure on the Canada-U.S. exchange rate. The Canadian dollar is likely to make gains against the euro as quantitative easing measures drive fund flows to regions with more attractive rates. Talking to Baker Gilmore, they have to say while the central bank will continue to try to weaken the Canadian dollar, we expect the currency will rebound in the coming year, along with oil prices as the supply demand imbalance corrects and the production growth slowing, coupled with the ongoing increase in global demand. So we have different views there on what might happen to interest rates. Now, overall, though, we have three big thematic observations. We expect the fixed income market will continue to exhibit heightened levels of rate volatility. We expect muted global economic growth and the downward pressure on crude oil prices, so we think will be a drag on the Canadian economy. And we have an optimistic near-term outlook for Europe and the U.S. and the expectation that the U.S. dollar will continue to strengthen. So what are we doing about that? We're maintaining a positive, with the positive outlook for the U.S., we're maintaining broad U.S. exposure increasing our exposure to small cap, U.S. small cap stocks. With the fixed income market exhibiting heightened levels of rate volatility, what we're doing is shortening the duration of the positions that we're holding. So rather than holding lots of 20-year bonds, they're shorter-term bonds. We're also maintaining overweight positions in investment-grade corporates and high yields and floating-rate bonds. So with that in mind, I want to turn the conversation over and introduce you to our guest speaker today, Tim Bradshaw. Tim is the Vice President of Portfolio Strategy and Client Services at Shear Ouellette and Associates Investment Management. Shear Ouellette is a boutique Canadian equity firm that manages more than $4 billion for institutional investors in Canada and internationally. They currently manage 23% of the Harmony Canadian equity pool. Their team employs a bottom-up value style for managing client portfolios, and they're part of the Connor, Clark, and Lund Financial Group, one of Canada's largest independently owned investment firms. Tim has a Bachelor of Commerce from McGill University and an MBA from the London School of Business. He also holds the Chartered Financial Analyst designation and has worked in the financial industry for the past 28 years. Welcome, Tim.
Thanks very much, Arnold.
Thanks for joining us on the call this morning.
Pleasure.
You're calling from Toronto, are you?
I am indeed, yes.
What's the weather like out there?
Well, we had a fabulous week last week, and it's got a little spoiled, and now we're a little cooler. But spring is here for sure.
Fantastic. So, Tim, can you tell us a little bit, tell my listeners a little bit about your investment style? How does Shear Ouellette manage money?
Yeah, so we have a value style whereby, from a perspective of what we look for a company that, say, is worth $10 and like to invest at $8 or less. So we'll make an investment with a view that we'll be patient and wait until that that valuation will be realized. We really do, as I think you talked about, as a bottom-up approach, which is from a perspective of looking at all the companies that trade on the TSX, understanding what their valuations are relative to others. We find the cheapest ones, and once we look at find those cheap ones, we then sort of dive into a bit more detail and say, well, why are they cheap? Is there a good reason they're cheap? In other words, they're not attractive, or is there something mispriced in the market? And we'll then continue our analysis, and those companies we really like, we add into the portfolio, which has typically about 35 to 40 names, so pretty concentrated.
Okay. Well, maybe later on we'll actually get you to share a couple of those names with us and tell us some of your favorite stories. But let me ask you, I mean, 2014 was sort of a disappointing year. Can you tell me what happened there?
Yeah, so up to the end of July, we were actually doing very well. We were adding value. What we saw happen, and you talked about a bit of it earlier on in the call, was we saw oil prices come down and then a bunch of concern in Europe. And the concerns in Europe around slowdown, and the result was that the European Central Bank decided to put a bunch of monetary stimulus into the market, such that 25% of the sovereign bond market in Europe was trading at negative interest rates. So people were buying bonds with a view that they would actually be losing capital by buying those bonds. And so with that environment, we saw a real flight to safety, a flight to concerns, selling energy, selling basic materials, and all those areas that were considered to be safe really increased. So we saw our base material holdings, names like Teck, Capstone, Sherritt, we saw those decline. Names we don't own in the pipeline, real estate, consumer staple, and healthcare sector rallied very strongly. And then in the energy sector, we did okay, except we had one holding, Talisman, which we actually held on to too long and made a mistake on that. We should have sold that earlier because they started to experience some debt issues, and we basically sold that at the wrong time. So it was a culmination of a few things that happened on that basis.
Okay. Well, so... Yeah, I mean, on the heels of that, you know, here we have, and I'm not sure if it was Connor Clark and Lund head office or if this was your view at Shear Roulette's, but Connor Clark and Lund is on record saying, you know, they have a small single-digit negative return outlook for Canadian equities. Why should my investors hold anything in Canadian equities or actually, why should they give you any money right now, sort of given that outlook?
Yes, we are our separate organization from Connor Clark and Lund Investment Management, even though we all share the same back office.
Right.
As bottom-up value managers, we have a view of buying stocks that are cheap, as I mentioned earlier. Buying stocks that are cheap and being patient, knowing that at some point in time we will get rewarded for that pickup. In the period, just to recite a little history, going back to the technology bubble, we underperformed quite dramatically as the technology bubble increased, and people said to us, well, I can't believe you guys don't own enough of Nortel and you don't own enough of these other names and you're really losing money for me on a relative basis. Well, we were behind the market by about 16% over the period of about 9 months. In the subsequent two-year period, Arnold, we were ahead of the market by 42%. So when you right. see a shift in the market sentiment, and right now we believe there's a lot of momentum, there's a lot of, I got to be buying what's working, has been working to date. But there's a lot of stuff out there that's really, really cheap. Capstone is one name in particular, which is back to the same levels it was in 2002. And yet the company is much stronger, produces much more copper, produces at one of the lowest cost bases of any copper producer in the world. And we don't believe China's going away. Yes, they might slow a bit, but they're still growing, and they're going to need copper.
Right. Well, interesting. Okay. So so that's Capstone. What's some other favorite stocks that you guys have right now?
So in the same base materials area, we also like Sherritt, which is got leverage to nickel. And again, they've got a very strong balance sheet, low cost producer. And we like Teck. In the energy sector, we've got a view of wanting to, buy energy companies that are a bit more conservative. So we have big positions in Suncor and Cenovus, which as integrated energy producers, both produce oil, but they also refine. And then we like Canadian Natural Resources for both its oil and its gas mix. We like the fertilizers, and in particular, we like Agrium. Agrium is produces about 2 million pounds a year of potash, not as big on the potash side as Potash Corp of Saskatchewan, but they actually produce fertilizer from nitrogen-based fertilizer, and they use natural gas as a feedstock. And if you've been looking at where natural gas prices are, especially in Alberta, natural gas prices are about $2.35. They have a huge cost advantage in terms of their production of nitrogen versus others. So they're making a huge amount of money, and as well, their investment CapEx plans have basically been fulfilled, and so they're going to be distributing more and more cash to shareholders. And then the final area we really like are the banks. We have about 11% overweight in the banks. The reason that overweight's so large is that we have zero holdings in the pipelines.
Okay.
If you look at the pipelines, they're trading at about 30 times earnings. In the last 4 years, they have actually had negative growth in their earnings, so they've grown by about minus 1%. The banks, on the other hand, are trading 11 to 12 times earnings and have had 10% growth. And if you look at one name in particular, CIBC, for 30 years, they have increased their dividend at a compounded growth of 17% with no dividend cuts, whereas TransCanada Pipeline has grown their dividend over 30 years by 9%, so half that level with three dividend cuts. So we say, you know, we can buy a bank at one-third of the price that we can buy a pipeline, and we're getting much more growth. I know there's lots of people concerned about the banks and the consumer debt levels and slowing economy, but we find that where they're priced right now at 10, 11 times earnings with very strong balance sheets, that they're fabulous bargains at this point in time.
Okay. Interesting. So, you know, we're in this super low interest rate environment. I think for the last three quarters, I've said, you know, I mean, how low can it go? Can it go any lower? And it keeps going lower. What are you guys doing differently because of this very low interest rate environment?
Well, you know, we have been expecting interest rates to rise, like a number of people have in the market for the last couple of years. And based on our process, it's a bottom-up value process. What these low interest rates have done have basically caused the market to say, I'm moving away from fixed income and the very small returns, and I'm going to buy stuff that's perceived to be safe with some dividend yields, like the pipelines, like the real estate stocks, like even some consumer staple stocks. But all those prices of those stocks have gone up dramatically, and there's a bunch of other names out there which are extremely cheap and represent excellent value. So our view is we have positioned our portfolio based on that bottom-up style in names that are cheap that we expect will do very, very well as the economies sort of move along. we don't expect interest rates to rise dramatically. What we would expect to happen is more of a normalization to happen in multiples, whereby the pipelines that have traded at 30 times earnings maybe come down to 15 times earnings, and the banks have been trading 11 times earnings move up to 15 times. So that's really where our portfolio has been positioned. You talk about interest rates having declined. They've actually backed up in the last couple of weeks quite dramatically. In Europe, they've increased by about 0.6%. In Canada, by about 0.5%. So we're actually got Government of Canada's at about 1.78%, back almost to the levels they were at the beginning of the year. And what we're seeing in some of the Eurozone European bond market is people saying that period of negative interest rates just does not make any logical sense. So is this the turn? I'm not sure. All we know is our portfolio is very well positioned to benefit when and if interest rates do start to rise.
Okay. So you said you own 30, 35 companies. Tell me about your favorite three.
My favorite three. Well, one has to be CIBC.
Okay.
CIBC is a one of the large Canadian banks. As I mentioned earlier on, it's trading at a very, very fairly cheap level, just under 10 times earnings. You get we don't buy for dividends, but you get a dividend yield of 4.5%. They've got one of the best balance sheets of any on the banks on the street. They've already met the requirements for the Basel III capital requirements. Their large part of their business is personal, commercial, and wealth, and we look at it as a utility. In other words, they can continue to raise prices. Customers kick and scream, but they're able to put those price increases through. And they've taken a bunch of risk off their balance sheet in, by shrinking some of their corporate and their wholesale side of their business. So we... again, and that 30-year track record of raising dividends by 17% a year is a very, very strong and very compelling opportunity. The other name that that we really like is Sherritt. Sherritt is a Canadian company that operates really in two major sectors. One is nickel. Production and refining, and the second is energy. Sherritt has operations, some operations here in Canada, but operations in Cuba, as well as a mine that they're building, a nickel mine that they're building in Madagascar. That nickel mine in Madagascar is in the ramp up of production, and their operating costs for nickel as it ramps up will be about $4.50. A pound, and nickel prices right now are about $6.35. So they've got huge leverage to that. As far as their Cuban operations are concerned, they produce some nickel, but they also produce energy. And with the thawing in relations or an improvement in the relations between the U.S. and Cuba, then they should certainly benefit from that side. the final name that I personally really like is Magna. Magna is an automotive company. We've had an overweight in the name for quite some time. They are a manufacturer of parts that supply the OEMs, trading at about just under 10 times earnings, and they have made some very dramatic improvements in their European operations, improving their margins there, and I think there's still some very decent upside in Magna.
Fantastic. Well, thank you, Tim. If I'm hearing you right, so CIBC, Sherritt, Magna, favorite companies, your bottom up pickers, your if I'm reading between the lines here, you're a little bit you're not overly positive on the Canadian equity markets, but you think you're positioned real well regardless of what happens. Would that be fair to say?
Oh, I know. I I would disagree with that. We are fairly positive on the,
okay,
equity market. I mean, we look at a comparison between the earnings capability of the names in our portfolio versus where interest rates are, and we feel that we've got very good upside opportunities within the names that we own. There are a bunch of names we don't own that we believe are very expensive.
Right.
We've seen some of those names come off. So from an overall market point of view, the market might be up slightly, so I wouldn't quibble with what Connor Clark and Line Investment Management say.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
from our portfolio, we expect strong outperformance in the next year and a half, 2 years, as things sort of normalize.
Okay. Well, thank you. Appreciate that insight, Tim. Thanks. Thanks again for taking the time out of your busy schedule to chat with me.
Pleasure.
To our listeners again, we hope you've enjoyed our call today. If there's something you'd like to discuss with me personally, just give my office a shout at 604-542-2818. If there's something that you've missed in the call and need to hear again, or if you know someone who couldn't listen in live but may want to hear the call, a playback will be available shortly on our website at visionvest.ca. If you receive this invitation receive the invitation to this call by email, playback details will be sent to you shortly. Our next call is scheduled for Wednesday, August the 12th, 2015, at 1 p.m. Invitations with details will be sent out to you closer to the date. This has been a VisionVest Live Dial and Discover conference call brought to you by Arnold Machel, VisionVest Financial Planning and Services, and IPC Investment Corporation. As usual, any returns quoted assumed funds are held for the entire period with all dividends reinvested. Commissions, trailing commissions, management fees and expenses may all be associated with mutual fund investments. Please read the prospectus before investing. Mutual funds are not guaranteed. Their values change frequently, and past performance may not be repeated. Thanks again for listening.